One thing led to another, and we're kissing.
Ooh, I like it.
And he wanted some more. Let's just say he wanted some more.
Yeah. Who wouldn't?
Literally, who wouldn't? Thank you for saying that. Thank you for saying that.
Yes.
Thank you for saying that. I just want to pause right there. And I want to actually serve some gratitude to that. Because who wouldn't, right? I'm perfect.
Correct.
I'm gorgeous.
Correct.
I'm amazing.
Correct. Hi, everyone. Welcome to They Had Fun. I'm Rachel, and I am back with another amazing story about New York City. First up, we're going to start off with my personal New York City recommendations for you, and then we are going to get into a wild story from a fabulous New Yorker. It occurred to me that if you are tuning into this show for the very first time, and I just go right into my Rachel's Rex, you might be wondering, what the hell is going on? I thought this was a storytelling show about New York. So I think I might need to start each episode for those newbies out there with a little warning, like what I just did. Like, I'm going to bring you some of my favorite things in New York City currently. We want to get you hyped about New York. And then once you're fully excited, we're going to bring in my wonderful guest. They're going to tell an exceptionally wonderful New York City story. And then you finish this episode and you will most assuredly go running out your door or immediately buy plane tickets to New York City. That is my ultimate goal. Okay, with all that being said, let's go ahead and get into my Rachel's Rex for this week, because you guys are constantly asking me for things to do that do not involve food, drink, alcohol, go out, try something new. So I had a wonderful Saturday in the city, and I thought, why don't I just go ahead and make what I did with all of my friends, my little itinerary I put together, a Rachel's Rec for all of you guys. So a few of my friends and I were looking for something to do this Saturday. We had tickets to this art expo. One of our friends said it wasn't terribly great. So I thought, why don't I be the little type A freak that I am and put something together for all of us? So I came up with a little itinerary of this sort of like art gallery crawl we did through Lower East Side, Chinatown. So it's the perfect way to do something. And then if you know, you want to be like me and my friends, you are going to end with a beverage. So I've got a spot for you at the end. So what I put together was four galleries you can go check out. They're all within walking distance of each other. And even my friends who have lived here for like 20 years were like, wow, Rach, these are like some really good ones you put together. I've never been to these. I've never heard of these. So there are still new things to explore in this city all of the time. Let's get started with the first stop. And that was the Derek Eller Gallery on the Lower East Side. I'd read about the show, I think, in New York Magazine. It was in the Approval Matrix. So I knew it was going to be a good one. Started there, took a little lap, beautiful work. Had a little thing that each of us went in the room and said what our favorite piece was. And weirdly enough, my husband was the only one who had a different answer than everyone else. Anyways, after that sort of like moseyed our way through Chinatown, it wasn't terribly gorgeous outside, but it was a nice day in New York City. You know, the blossoms are in bloom. That's always lovely. Stopped in our second stop, and that was 47 Canal. Now, this one's kind of interesting. You have to buzz. You have to go up the stairs, enter a room, do a look around in there. I think that was my favorite one. Yeah, that was my favorite one. They're all great, but you know, and even if you don't even, this is important. Even if you don't like all of the work, it is about getting out, seeing something, being curious, doing something different, going to a space you haven't been to before. You don't have to love every piece of work that's inside of a gallery. I didn't at some of these, but I still enjoyed going, and I enjoy other work they do at some other times. Okay, so 47 Canal. After that, I think we headed over to Bowery, took a left, yeah, and then walked south on Bowery, heading further into Chinatown. And then we stopped at Island Gallery, which has been a Rachel's Rec before. I saw an amazing show there maybe like 2 years ago or something. And I know I talked about it. This time they had up a totally different show, very body focused. It was awesome. We all loved it. I love that gallery. Also up on like a second floor, you have to get up there. You have to know about it. They're doing great work. Lastly, took a little left right around the corner. Didn't have to walk very far. We ended at Magenta Plains. I love this gallery too. This one you can enter from ground floor. They have three floors. This show is a little more political in context. Again, it's always great to see something. So after we hit those four galleries and just sort of traipsed around all of the different area of Lower East Side Chinatown, we decided to go get a drink. I think there was like 8 to 10 of us at this point, so we knew it was going to be a little bit difficult. Obviously, people were out. People were sitting in the streets. Love to see it. So we were lucky enough to walk over to Forget Me Not, right in the heart of Times Square. And they had a seat outside for all of us. So we sat outside, we got some drinks. I was really floored at how affordable the drinks were. I think my glass of wine was like $10 or something. Friend got a martini. I think it was like 13. And this is all just to say you can have a day like this. Do you have to visit these exact same galleries? No. But I know a lot of times we get stuck in the museum circuit. We get stuck in the Chelsea circuit. Why not go to a new neighborhood, check out a handful of galleries, walk around with your friends, talk about the art. Maybe you say something wrong. Who cares? Maybe you love it. Maybe you hate it. It is something to open your mind. And then, of course, you know, you go be the New York degenerate we have to be, and you go get a drink with your friends and you have a few more drinks. And if you're like us, you walk around and you stop at another bar in the Lower East Side and you have a couple more drinks. It's the best thing about New York. We talk about it all of the time. So that's my intro for you. Those are my Rachel's Recs, 4 interesting galleries you can go check out and go hang out with your friends. As I am recording this, it's 70 degrees in New York City. I cannot wait to go outside. I will be running out of my door the second I finish this intro. So with that in mind, let's go ahead and get into my guest for today. So once again, if you do enjoy this episode, which I think you will have the opportunity to check her out at her new weekly show at the Knitting Factory. It is called Marley's Mind. It is on Tuesdays. She is just absolutely hilarious. So I know you're going to want to get tickets to this. And of course, she's doing so many things. So she's got a lot of titles. She is a comedian. She is a performer. She is a pop star. She is a director. All of these can go under one very important title, and that is It Girl in New York City. Please welcome to the show, Marley Goderer.
Hi. Thank you for having me.
Thank you for gracing me with your presence. And I mean that sincerely because you are the It Girl of the moment.
Mm-hmm. And that is true. Born the It Girl of New York City. Well, unfortunately, one day perish. The It Girl of New York City, hopefully in a long, long time.
What a wonderful, beautiful ending that would be to just carry on that title throughout your entire life. I love that you say born the It Girl of New York City, because as we know, we are focusing this season on people who recently moved to the city. So it's going to give us a lot of things to talk about. So I want to talk a bit about the 9 titles we've just gone through here, because all of them are equally wonderful. We could touch on each and every one of them. But since I do love getting my recommendations for this podcast for guests, I have to give a shout out to Rachel Koster, who is a fabulous comedian, who said, get Marley. You are going to love her. I hounded you. I got you. And I love the work you're doing as a comedian in New York City. Every video I've watched of you is just cracking me up. Tell me a bit about your comedy career. Do you love doing it in the city? Are you embarrassed by it, as we've discussed?
I love comedy. Oh my God. It is just a dream come true. Performing sometimes for 12 people. Oh my God. No, honestly, first of all, Rachel, shout out. Secondly, I was living in LA for 4 years after college. And then when I moved back here, I moved here for live performance, honestly. Like, I wanted that sort of community. And so honestly, it has definitely produced lots of community and lots of friendship and love and light. I do love doing comedy here.
We can all be silly about, you know, doing our creative pursuits and they drag us down. And for every one yes, there's 1,000 no's. But what is getting me so excited is you hearing that, like, you know, for all jokes aside, you're getting this community. It's exactly what you came for, and that you are finding these people. And like, honestly, you just getting recommended for the show is the perfect example of that. And it's what we talk about a lot on the show, is that people come here for this community. So I'm so glad that it's working out in your favor.
Definitely. I mean, I always wanted to move to New York. And I think when I said born the It Girl of New York City, I guess ancestral, you know,
my
family's from the Bronx, Brooklyn, Astoria.
Oh, wow. Really? Like, actually? Okay.
Yeah. So no, it's giving Ellis Island. It's giving coming off of Ellis Island, Jews owning a candy store. Yeah.
But this is really your family history.
It's the family tree.
So let's just go ahead. And now that we know a bit about you and that you were ancestrally born into being the It Girl of the city, let's go ahead and ask our first question, which is, when did you move to New York?
The end of April 2023. I think April 24th, I touched down.
We're less than a year. Did you come here? You were obviously telling us you were in LA. Did you decide to do this giant bi-coastal move and like it was the whole drive across the country, or how did that all pan out?
Yeah, well, it was in some ways, if you could believe it, I was in a relationship.
Ah.
Yeah. And I knew I wanted to move to New York, but we were going to traverse together. And that didn't end up happening, thankfully. But I went through the South by myself. Yep. In my car, packed it all up. There was no space. Went through Arkansas. So let's just say that I discovered Celsius for the first time. Drove 12 hours straight.
Oh, Celsius.
Didn't stop in Texas. Celsius the drink. Yeah, Celsius the temperature.
Sounds like what? The caffeinated beverage kept you going on this road trip.
Like, four sips of it kept me going.
I'm sorry to hear about the breakup, but I think perhaps we're seeing it was a silver lining. I don't know. It probably spurred you being like, all right, fuck it. I'm really going now and I'll do it all on my own. I don't care.
Exactly. It just like, it had to be done. So it was giving a lot of change.
Yes.
But needed to happen.
Well, you're here. Yes, it needed to happen. You made it. Why don't we talk a bit more about the second question, which is always, why did you move to New York? And you can extrapolate on any of those or tell us if it was just straight up the breakup. I don't know, whatever it was, tell me.
Well, when I decided like, I'm going to come to New York, I was like, I'm going to take my career very seriously. Like, I'm going to like say yes to every opportunity that comes. Yes, yes, yes.
Perfect.
I like came here as a contractor and I was like, okay, like here are some goals. Like, I want to get a corporate job somewhat that like is stable. I want to be performing all the time. I want to get a manager and I want to be auditioning for TV because ultimately I want my own TV show. I'm going to have my own TV show.
Yes, you will.
And get paid, get my checks that I deserve. And so like the end of 2023, I like had this realization of, oh my God, like all these goals that I had that I was like, I want to be performing a lot. Check. I got a job at HBO doing their, you know, gay social media stuff. Check. And then I got a manager, all these career points that I wanted to hit, it happened.
Damn, that is some New Yorker tenacity there to put together a list of like, by the way, there's people who live here for like decades who are still trying to cross everything off that list and you've done it in like a few short months. But to even be like, all right, I'm getting this done. These are what I'm going to do. And like you just said, check, 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 check. I mean, this is the energy of coming to New York. You did it. That's what that's what I always say. To guess, like, of course you're going to have your own TV show. You're doing all that. You're going to have your own TV show.
It's going to happen. And I think the world is ready. And I think it's just a matter of give me the check, you know, give me the check. I could have came and been like, all right, let me do just regular stand up and try to do this. So like people can see me perform and then maybe I'll get a manager and then get me an audition, you know, like these things where I was like, no, I can't do this unless it's fun.
Yeah.
And I still feel that. I still am like, what is going to be fun here? And they had fun.
You're speaking my language because I feel the same way about, first of all, everything in life. So I'm glad to hear that someone else is doing that. I have a very hard time committing myself to anything that isn't fun. And this is exactly why you're great to be on the show. And I think that it's happening. Like that's exactly, doing that should inspire other people to be like, stop doing the drudgery, stop doing the things that aren't fun, focus on what is good for you and look at the great things that can come out of it. The fact that you're sitting, I mean, you're setting it up perfectly saying that you're only here for the fun. It leads me perfectly into the most important question of the show. And that is, of course, Marley, what is the most fun you've ever had in New York City?
So it was New Year's Eve. I was 19. I started it off at one of my friend's parents' gorgeous brownstone. Parents weren't there, of course.
Wow.
I was like, this is insane that people can live like this. Especially in this city. I was like, this is giving awesome. It's giving, this is amazing. I remember being there dancing on a granite countertop.
Oh my gosh.
Playing some grand piano. And then I remember somebody like kind of like on a chair, like twerking on my face a little bit, like kind of half as a joke. That ends, or, you know, the New Year's part happens. I don't know if anybody kissed me. I don't think so. I'll have to say I don't think so. And I'm so pissed about it. But Then with a couple friends, we end up in the West Village. We ended up at, you guessed it, Stonewall.
Beautiful.
And I threw the first brick. And I never had a fake ID. Like, that was never something I had. Like, I, like, grew up in, like, the woods. Like, what we did for fun was, like, sit in a 24-hour Stop and Shop parking lot and, like, smoke weed. And, like,
yeah.
You know, I never was like, I need to buy alcohol. I never need to do this. But I always find a way in. So, like, I remember I, like, took somebody's, like, wristband or something and I snuck in. Like, I just got in.
Smart.
Yeah. So I was in Stonewall. I was like, hi, gay people. Like, it was my first time there, you know, was dancing on the stage. I think it was like maybe 3 or 4 a.m. at this point.
Love it.
I remember at one point I went to the bathroom and there was this Australian man there, Ginger, very tall, very skinny Ginger. And he's like, can I watch you pee? I was like, can I watch you pay? I need to find my Australian accent. It'll come. And I was like, okay. Like, I'm peeing. This Australian man is watching me pee.
Yes.
And then I'm like washing my hands. And then he, like, one thing led to another and we're kissing.
Ooh, I like it.
And he wanted some more. Let's just say he wanted some more.
Yeah. Who wouldn't?
Literally, who wouldn't? Thank you for saying that. Thank you for saying that.
Yeah.
Thank you for saying that. I just want to pause right there. And I want to actually serve some gratitude to that. Because who wouldn't, right? I'm perfect.
Correct.
I'm gorgeous.
Correct.
I'm amazing.
Correct.
I will give you something that you probably will never get in your life. Anyways, so we're making out near the urinals. And he's trying to cop a feel. I'm like, okay, I got to get out. He's like, Molly.
Oh.
In his Australian. Yeah.
Got it.
Molly.
Yeah.
You get that? Molly. But yeah. So then I exited the bathroom. They were clearing out the bar. So last one out of Stonewall, New Year's Eve, 2016. We get outside. I'm with like a couple of my friends. We're chatting. I was with like two gay guys. At this point, I was like serving genderqueer, but it was before I started like hormonally transitioning, like on HRT.
Okay.
I was, you know, drunk, whatever. Have no idea what's going on.
Okay. So you are drinking.
Oh, drink. Yeah. Yes. Okay, 19 and drinking.
I thought you weren't.
Could you believe it? Could you even believe that? I was 19. That's 2 years younger than 21. And yet I was having alcohol. But no, we ended up in an Uber on our way to guess where? A dungeon orgy in Chelsea.
Are you serious?
Yep.
This is our first orgy. And I think this is important work. Okay, tell me about it.
I am a pioneer always. Yeah. I'm always doing the important work. I'm always chopping down the brush, leading the people across the deserts, 40 day, 40 night, splitting the Red Sea for all you hoes.
Thank you.
Anyways, so I get to the dungeon orgy. Honestly, getting out of the car, I'm like, I don't know where we are. This is like 5 a.m. The sun's like kind of rising. A man in a full suit is like going and then like goes through like a door and heads down the stairs. And we're like, I think that's where to go.
Yeah, follow that guy.
Follow the guy in the full suit.
Yeah.
So we go down the stairs. We get to like the door where they check clothes. They're like, it's $40 per person, which I was like, I got $10. Take it or leave it. They were like, we'll take it.
I don't know if I want to be going to an orgy that's giving discounts. Like, I feel like I want the orgy where they're like, it is $1,000 per head to get in here and no one else.
Totally. No, I agree with you. But they were like, check in your clothes.
Check in your clothes like means get naked and give them your clothes?
Yes. And they put it in like a locker and they, okay, or they give you like a ticket or whatever. And I feel like that happens in most places.
Okay. Because I've never been to an orgy and this is just like sheer curiosity. Do you go in fully nude or do you wear underwear or like what do you go in?
So I kept on all my clothes.
Oh, okay.
And I will say that The most clothes that anyone else was wearing, I would say there was maybe like 150 plus people there.
Damn.
The most clothes anybody else was wearing was like a jock strap at the most.
Okay.
So I was wearing my probably at that point, like skinny jeans and t-shirt.
Yeah.
So it was like pitch black in there. You walk in, they have like the bar, which has like cookies. And then there's like little like vintage TVs playing porn. And there's like different spots. So it was like that dark room over there with a bunch of people. There was like the sex swing down the alleyway. There was the loft part. I went up the loft. I'm wearing all my pants. All three pairs of my pants, putting my belt on the last hole. Like nobody can take these off.
Are you thinking you're going to partake or are you thinking
I'm overwhelmed.
Okay.
It was like, whoa, what is happening? So I go up to the loft part. I like see from across, like my friend that I came with, we're like locking eyes and like, he's like fully getting head. And I'm like, hey, we were in what Queer Theory 101 back at Liberal Arts College. And like, isn't that beautiful?
And that's New York, baby.
Oh, then I see my other friend with this like ripped guy with the most silver white hair I've ever seen. Really hot. And I saw him leading my friend to the sex swing.
Oh my gosh.
So I was like, hi, girl. Like, be safe, I guess.
Consent.
Yeah, consent. So yeah. I was like, okay, like both my friends are accounted for.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so now what am I doing here? I went into a different room and I was very popular. Let's just say I was very popular. And I liked that. And I was like, let me try some things. So let's say at the end, I had a great experience.
Yes.
And I left happy. And guess where I went the next day?
Where?
To my UCB 101 improv class, intensive class. That was right across the street in Chelsea. Full circle, coming back. I had so much fun and it was so overwhelming. But that has prepared me for my life here in New York.
Yeah.
For sure.
If there's one tip we can give to newbies, it's that orgies will help prepare you for your New York City experience.
Orgies and improv intensives. And if you find any amounts of fun in those extreme places, wow, isn't that beautiful? Isn't that gorgeous?
I gotta say, you're definitely bringing us two new heights here. Like, I gotta put my money where my mouth is, where every time I talk to someone further beyond the show, they're like, can I talk about this? I'm like, it's New York City, talk about whatever the fuck you want. And I'm like, okay, we've got it here. I think most of all, what you really did here was, if we're gonna like try and do this dumbass sentimental thing that I do all the time, it really is a story about like you finding yourself and like coming of age in New York City. And it really does, for all the jokes and all the like sexual everything, thing, innuendos in between, it really is some kid who always wanted to be in this city so bad to figure out who they are.
Mm-hmm.
And it gave you this opportunity to do that. You took us along for the whole journey. We've got New Year's. We have going from zero kisses to going to Stonewall and someone being interested in you to winding up in an orgy and it all coming full circle the next morning. I really, really do love it.
It's access. It is access. It's things accessible.
Don't we love that there are places that people can go to orgies in New York City? Like I've read like articles about this, completely 100% consent, legal, safe, doing all of the right things. And God bless New York City that we have these opportunities for whoever wants to take them. And like we said, doing anything like that might just help you in your New York City experience. Okay, considering that you have brought us to a new level today, I now have to ask you my last question of the show. And that is, what is your favorite thing about New York City?
Bacon, egg, and cheese. Let's fucking go. Bacon, egg, and cheese. Period. What else do you need from me? Like, you want me to say the dungeon orgies? You want me to say the community? You want me to say the comedy scene? No.
Again, beauty in the simplicity. And I that's great.
And I actually have one more thing. Mm-hmm. I want to shout out my healthcare. And I think in New York City, there's access to healthcare and trans healthcare and queer healthcare in a way that I really thought was impossible. Doctors, therapists, psychiatrists, anything in a way that I've never had. And like that, it's New York.
Look at you finding a way to turn around and make it all sentimental and deeply emotional and thoughtful and lovely, because that is, it's bringing us right back to the beginning of like, that's why you're here and that you have that healthcare system, and that makes you feel great about yourself. It makes me so proud to be a New Yorker to hear that that's one of the things you love outside of wonderful breakfast sandwiches, that you have the ability to have that healthcare. Let's end on a very sentimental note. Trans and queer healthcare in New York City. Marley, thank you so much for being on the show, for telling that wild, wild ride. Loved it. So you. Thank you.
Thanks for having me.
Most of all, thanks, New York. They had fun.
Trigger warning, trigger warning. Uh-oh, someone's going to learn something new.